choosing among tables, line graphs, and bar graphs. Tables, more detail. You can give the exact means to several decimals, the exact standard deviations. If you have unequal sample size, you can put that in. Tables also make it easier to see the main effects because you can include the marginal means. But tables make it harder to see the interaction. So when people, it's one of those you can never make anybody happy. When there's tables, people draw little bar graphs or line graphs. When you get a line graph or a bar graph, people draw little tables. Because different things are good for different things. Tables make it much easier to see the interaction pattern, but they make it harder to see the main effects. Line graphs, easier to see the interaction pattern because you got lines. Harder to see the main effects because you don't have marginal means. You got to draw dots. Formally, you're supposed to have a quantitative IV on the x-axis. That's an old mathematical graphing rule. APA and most other groups finally decided that that was silly. They're not mathematicians anyway. And you often see a line graph even if what you've got is paper and computer or dogs, cats, and hamsters, whatever. Bar graphs. The interactions are easier to see than tables, but not as easy as line graphs. The main effects are harder to see than tables. For any one of these, you can have whiskers. And that's really what they're called. I don't make these things up. Where you can put little whiskers that represent the variability in that condition. Still, it's not with as much precision as a table, but on both line graphs and bar graphs, you can put whiskers that represents the amount of variability. You can even choose how you do those whiskers so that overlapping whiskers mean a non-significant difference. And non-overlapping whiskers means a significant difference if you want to do that based on something called confidence intervals.